The scripture is changed from the one printed in the bulletin. It's from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 16. It's on page 259 in the Old Testament section of the Bible, and I'll tell you why it is changed. Of course, originally I was going to finish the parable as listed here in Luke of the prodigal son, or the loving father as it's also known, but I found out that my surgery date, now I do have a date being postponed, is now August 7th. It's being pushed for a while because I wanted to wait as we got close to after vacation Bible school, because the grandkids hopefully are going to be a part of that. So I didn't want to be recuperating during that time. So that means that the preaching schedule could be envisioned a little differently. And I'm going to follow the gist of the lectionary, which for the next number of weeks focuses on King David. We actually started last week talking about Israel wanting a king. And so we're going to pick up that today, and over the next several weeks, number of weeks anyway, I'll have just enough time to finish the series that I want, focusing on David. Most of the weeks we'll be using the lectionary prescribed passage of the day. I don't know if you even care about that, but most of the weeks we'll be. However, there'll be one or two where I'll change the order of things around. So you may listen now to God's word from 1 Samuel. We're going to be in 1 and 2 Samuel most of the time for the next weeks. Chapter 16, the first 13 verses. Listen to God's word. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he'll kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me the one whom I name to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, "Do you come peaceably?" He said, "Peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." He sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. The Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Samuel then set out and went to Ramah. The word of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Where we left off the discussion last time was we noted some of the players here, especially Samuel, who was, he had two offices really. He was a prophet of the Lord. That's why he would be the appropriate one to lead in worship and lead the sacrifices. Only those who were in that office, a priestly kind of office, could do that. In fact, Saul ends up getting in trouble for leading an offering himself because Samuel was a little late showing up, and that didn't go over very well with Samuel or the Lord. Now, so Samuel is a prophet, but he's also the last what's called judge in Israel. After Israel entered the promised land, God set up a system where God would act as king. We call this a theocracy. God was the ruler of Israel, and then whenever a human agent was necessary, God would raise up men and women. Deborah was one of them, Samson was another, and Samuel, and there were others. God would raise up people to lead the people of Israel if it was necessary to gather as an army and defend or whatever the circumstance might be. But as we learned last week, the people looked around and they said, look, nobody else has judges. No other nation does. Everybody else has a king. So we want a king. Well, God said, okay, I'm going to give you a king. And Samuel told him all the negative things that were going to happen by rejecting God as king, but they still said, we want a king. So in the intervening chapters between that and here, we read about Saul. Saul was someone who God has chosen as king. And Saul was the, you know, I was trying to think of who would play the movie version of these people. I would say Charlton Heston, but that wouldn't mean anything. That would mean a lot to some of us, but it wouldn't mean so much to others. So I don't, who's the guy who plays Captain Kirk in the Star Wars, Star Trek ones? Yeah, him. He might make a good Saul, because Saul was tall. Actually, for one, we read a couple of times Saul was literally head and shoulders taller than the average person. He was taller than anybody else. He was handsome, and he looked like a king. And so that's the one whom was chosen by God to be the king. King Saul. But as I said before, in these chapters, a couple of things Saul did that did not go over well with God. One of them was the people were gathering and they were going to attack a group of people called the Amalekites. Samuel said he'd be there in 7 days to lead the sacrifice. Well, the seventh day came, still no Samuel. People were getting antsy. Saul was starting to lose some of his people and soldiers. And so Saul said, wait a minute, I'll lead the sacrifice. So he did. And of course, right after he led it, Samuel shows up. And it's then that God tells Samuel he's going to look for somebody else, somebody who will listen to him. And this is the key verse related to today. This is 1 Samuel chapter 13. God says about Saul, but your kingdom will not continue. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. That's a key verse. 1 Samuel 13, verse, what did I say? 14b, actually. God is going to look for a different kind of person to be king. The second thing that happens is that Saul is given very specific instructions by God through Samuel that he's to go and have war with the Amalekites, and he is to kill everyone. Now, this is a tough kind of ethical thing that we have struggled with in Old Testament studies, but leaving the ethical component aside, the specific command was to kill everyone and all their sheep and all their cattle, totally obliterate the Amalekites. Well, Saul goes and he kills everybody but the king. And he destroys all the animals except the best sheep and cattle. And he gives it to the armies so that he says, when Samuel confronts him, Saul says, look, I did what God said. And the reason I saved the best animals was so that we can sacrifice them to God. And in chapter 15 of 1 Samuel, Samuel says to him, "Has the Lord so as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obedience to the voice of the Lord? Surely to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed." Yeah, that's it. Goes on from there. In other words, Saul wanted to be religious. He acted in religious ways that he thought would please God by sacrificing before the army attacked, by taking that role himself, and by listening to the people, really, because the soldiers wanted those animals to sacrifice, and by giving in and by sparing the king. Well, the last act that Samuel does as judge is he kills the king. And that is when God utterly rejects Saul, and it says that God takes the Holy Spirit from Saul. Oh, my goodness. In the Old Testament, before Pentecost, we note that God's Holy Spirit comes upon certain people at certain times and sometimes for certain lengths of times. When Saul was anointed king, the Holy Spirit came upon him so that Saul could fulfill that office. But when God rejects Saul because what God would rather have than our religion and our religious practices is our hearts and our obedience. David later would learn that God does not want sacrifices, but rather he wants a broken and contrite heart. That's the sacrifice acceptable to God. So here we have it. So God sends Samuel, who's still, you know, a judge in the midst of the king. He's still a prophet, rather. And this, he sends him as a prophet in this capacity. And he says, "Go to Bethlehem, and you'll find a man there by the name of Jesse. Don't worry, I'll get you there safely. Saul's not going to worry about it because you're going to go and sacrifice, and that's okay." But that wasn't the main thing. And he goes, and he gets Jesse, and he says, "Jesse, bring me your sons." Well, Jesse brings the first one, the oldest one, for him, and boy, he looks like a king too. His name is Eliab. Surely this is the one. I mean, Samuel sees him and says, "Man, this has got to be the one God has in mind." God says, "No." So then God goes down, you know, go down the list and down the list, one after another, and none of them are the ones. So Jesse says, "Look, do you have any other sons?" Well, Jesse says, "Yeah, I mean, there's the youngest, you know, he's..." I wonder if Jesse is thinking, you know, this can't be him. I mean, he likes to play the flute and the lyre, and he's a shepherd, and he enjoys being out there by himself. I'm reading into the passage there. But Jesse says, "No, he's the youngest. He's out tending the sheep. He's a shepherd, as the other sons." But the other sons happened to be there because of the sacrifice. The youngest one was the one left behind to tend the sheep because they all couldn't come. So Saul says, "Bring him here." Well, as soon as David comes in, and I thought, well, who could play David? I thought Brad Pitt would make a great David, right? Ruddy, you know, handsome, beautiful eyes. That might be him. I think we all know Brad Pitt, old and young. Okay. Well, a young Brad Pitt, let's say. Well, it falls on him. He's the one God wants. He doesn't want the big, tall, handsome, head and shoulders above everybody else. Been there, done that. Rather than having someone who looks like a king and can act royally like a king, God now wants someone who has the right heart. And that's David. David is the one who has a heart after God. David is the one whom the Lord has sought out, a man after his own heart. There's a connection between David and God that is there throughout all of David's life, even when he messes up big time. And over these weeks, we're going to look at some of the amazing characteristics and character and, frankly, failures of this man, David. And it says that at that point when Samuel anoints him, that David becomes filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. David's the one. David's the king who becomes the paradigm of a king in Israel. And it's from the lineage of David that Israel will look for the Messiah. And the Messiah, Jesus Christ, will come because Joseph, and some believe even Mary also, were direct descendants of David in the city of Bethlehem. That's why Jesus is born in Bethlehem, because that is the city of his ancestor, King David. Heart. David was many things. He was a shepherd. He was also a musician. And God would use David's music to help calm King Saul in some of his rages and other things. One commentator I read said that Saul starts to act like a manic depressive in some ways in the way he acts, and the music of David is able to calm Saul. David is a poet, as you know. Many of the psalms that we have recorded for us in the Bible are written by David. Some of the most memorable psalms: "The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want." That's from David, the shepherd. "Search me, O God, and know my heart," Psalm 139. That's David. "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart," Psalm 19. That's from David. And the sacrifice acceptable to God, Psalm 51, is a broken and contrite heart. That's what God wants from us. God doesn't want just our being the best at what we do, or the tallest, or the strongest, or the richest, or the handsomest, or the one who does the most religion, God, some of that's important, but more than any of that, what God wants from us has nothing to do with performance. It has nothing to do with outward. What God wants from us is our hearts. And that's kingly. That's messianic. In fact, that's everything. David. Mortals see the outside, but God looks on the heart. David. Person after God's own heart. We'll be taking a closer look in these next weeks ahead. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.